us first back up and consider how highly God values our lives before we learn to give them up for Jesus' sake. This is a homely example. Is there something with the mic?
Oh, yeah, I think it's not on.
Let me take a look.
Sorry. We can hear you, but they can't hear you.
Maybe the word spared them.
Okay.
Is that on?
It's on now.
Okay.
Mary
manages to use her mic so well. It's very irritating to have those sounds. Is it better now?
Yes.
Okay. Let's see. This is a very homely example. You know, if it's great literature, but have you read The Little House on the series? I'm making noises. Do you think it's the tail?
Yeah. Or it might be on the
jack. Yes. This part? Okay. This Little House on the Prairie series, if you haven't read it or you want your child to read it, my son's done with it. I'll give it to you to take home today. But the last book of the series by Laura Ingalls Wilder tells... What shall I do?
Lay it down.
Lay the mic down?
Yeah, lay it down in front of your book.
Okay.
It'll be all right. It'll pick up.
Thank you so much for catching that. The last book of the series is a very grim story. It's a little different from the rest of the stories, and it tells the story of a winter of starvation for the town in which Lara lives. If the farm families eat the grain that is for the seed, there will be no harvest for the next year. Yet their families will die before spring if they don't have food to eat. Two bachelor brothers in the town. They're carefree. They have no children. They don't have all these burdens on them. They secretly stockpile the seed grain, and they're riding the market out to monopoly prices at spring planting. And readers who read this story feel very complicated knowing that Laura is going to marry one of those very too much clever brothers. You wonder, is she going to be all right married to a man who's so sharp like that? But he knows how to turn a profit. And the story brings home to many of us who were raised in small towns or cities and not on a farm, the value of a kernel that can be planted. The difference between life and death. Falling to the ground and sprouting is looking ahead to another time. It certainly seems like the present circumstances and our needs should take all of our attention and our resources. But living God's way means that we have more than enough for today by His grace. Now, when I say that, easy for me. I have things to eat. I have a place to live. I have clothing. But on the scriptures, we have to say that this is true. Baskets of loaves and fishes left over when there really wasn't enough for everyone before Christ gave thanks for a few fish and a few loaves. Giving our lives as seed comes from seeing ahead to a bountiful harvest. And there is risk involved. If you have ever enthusiastically bought a package of seeds at the grocery store, look, plants are so expensive. Look, for $1.49, I can have 500 of these plants. If you've ever bought a packet of seeds without really knowing what you were doing, Mary Ellen and those other people are different. They know what they're doing. You know that not every seed sprouts, not every seed bears fruit abundantly. So there naturally comes to our mind, when we're told that our lives are seeds, that we might give our lives for the sake of the gospel and not even begin to be productive. Would it have been better to go ahead and eat the seed grain if it all comes to nothing in a way? Use it up today. On the basis of the word of God, I am able to tell you that you will bear fruit by the word of God. I don't know that, but the scriptures know that. This is what we are doing together, trusting God that his promises are reliable, although we cannot prove any of it while we are still here on earth. We have evidence, but we cannot prove it. Extending the message of forgiveness and salvation to the world is where Christ risks his life. This text in John is the first time that John tells of Gentiles coming to Christ. These men, and I'm sure that they are men, are not Greek and Aramaic speaking Israelites like the disciples. They are Greeks, if you read the text, they are Greeks who approach Philip. Philip has a Greek name. Is it a coincidence that they come to him? Don't we go to the people that we think will be able to understand us? Goes to Philip. He's from a Greek majority town, even though he's Israeli. He's not Israeli, he's Jewish. Philip finds Andrew, another Greek name, and together they go to Jesus. And when Jesus hears that the Gentiles are looking for him, it seems from this, he's troubled. He feels the chill of death across his back, that he is heading right into the cross, right into the glory of God, right into salvation for the world. He feels that. It's time now. He is not just going to be the one taking care of his own people, but he's moving into something different that God had planned. Now, the Greeks who came to Jesus here drop out of the text. We don't know what happens to them. They may turn up in church history, but we don't know which people they are. The time, the hour is here as Jesus is conscious of the glory of God in the salvation of the world. Throughout his life, Christ is portrayed in the Gospels as moving purposefully. The purpose becomes visible in his death on the cross, which is coming now. So there are seasons and times in our lives. Our obedience may seem like treading water for long periods of time. But if we don't live faithfully during those ordinary times, we won't be ready. When we feel the wind, it's time, it's time. Omar's brother Dennis lived on Avon Road in Upper Darby, not far from here. But taking Xavier as a baby to meet his grandparents in Cochabamba was a new world for me. Everyone was incredibly welcoming. Plans would be made, the extended family, we're gonna, like 20 people were gonna jam into the van and we were gonna visit a scenic outlook with Inca ruins, or we were gonna eat at a place with unusually good grilled meat. Departure set 9 a.m. the next morning. So I would be rushing around, I'm always late, rushing around trying to make the time, when I would become aware that nothing is happening. There is nobody else gathering, nobody else is getting ready for anything. So I would say, oh, I guess the plans changed. It's all mysterious to me. I don't know what's happening from moment to moment. I guess they changed the plans. So I'll go do something else. An hour would pass, 2 hours would pass, and Omar would come in and say, we're all in the van waiting for you. There was an organic moment, but I didn't believe in the plan because I didn't see anything happening. But there was a moment when the thing was ready. The things that we believe about the power and glory of Jesus Christ are surely taking place within you and around us, And since the life and death of Christ, the Bible says, the hour is now. It's now, 2,000 years of now. The hour has come for Christ and for us. And may we just say a word about the ruler of this world? Jesus refers in verse 31 to the prince of this world being driven out by his activity. And if you love Handel's oratorio, you will sing with me as we remember the words from Revelation 11:15 in I'm tone deaf, but it goes like, you guys can sing, it goes, the kingdom of this world da, 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 has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ and of his Lord, and he will reign forever and ever. You know, if you read that, you have to kind of sing it. Jesus is saying that the kingdom of the world is becoming. The world belongs to God by creation, by sustaining us with his breath moment by moment. How is it not already his kingdom? But in the New Testament, we see that the choice of humans not to trust and obey God has invited pride and fear and violence into the systems of the world. And we are living in a time when Christ is surely king, but there is a prince in the world. There is a violence and an evil and a manipulation and a destruction, a malice, twisting God's world. We groan and struggle living in a world which is clearly God's world and yet clearly ruled by evil as a shadow empire. Trusting in Christ means that we already live in the kingdom of God with the restoration of the world not yet completely fulfilled. It's in motion, Christ tells us. God's glory is in our lives with Christ. This church and each of us are the seed dying to bear fruit in the name of Christ. Amen.